Hello, and welcome to Episode 8 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the Senior Pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, you can email me your question at PastorStephenDBC@gmail.com. Again, that's Pastor, S-T-E-V-E-N, D-B-C, at gmail.com. In this episode, we're going to continue what we started last time, which is a series of podcasts related to angelology, or the doctrine of angels. I mentioned this in the previous podcast, that most of what many of us know about angels comes from pop culture. However, in this series of podcasts, we'll be looking at what the Bible has to say. So grab your Bibles and let's get started. Now, the first thing we're going to look at is, how did angels come into existence? Were they created, for example? I want you to turn with me to Psalm 148 in verse 5. Psalm 148 in verse 5. There it reads, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created." Now in this psalm, it is basically telling us that and giving a look at the whole of creation being called on to praise the Lord. If you look at verse 2, what you'll see is, "Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host." There again is a reference to angels. So angels are being called to praise him. And of course, that is in verse 5, all the aforementioned list of things, angels, host, the sun, moon, stars, and so forth, they're all being called on to praise the Lord and being commanded to do so because they created and were created by God Almighty. So we see that God is the one who created angels. Now, angels are not the same as human beings. They are separate and distinct creations. And we can see this in a few passages of Scripture. So, for example, Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5 say, "What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you crown him with glory and majesty." You can also see in Mark 12:25 the same idea that humans and angels are distinct. So we see that the angels were created by God, as we saw in Psalm 148 in verses 2 through 5. But probably more specifically, it's worth looking at two passages in the New Testament. The first we're going to look at in terms of who specifically created them. We're going to look in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 16. In Colossians 1:16, Paul writes, "For by him," this is of course speaking here of Christ, "for by Christ all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Christ and for Christ." Of course, in verse 16, Paul uses the word him. He is referring to Jesus Christ. So there in verse 16, you can see that Jesus is the sometimes called the agent of creation. God spoke and brought forth all that we see and all that exists. And you see in verse 16 that it encompasses the heavens and the earth, but also notice the visible and things that are invisible and the other descriptions as well. So what we see so far is that angels are created beings. They're not the same as humans, meaning they are distinct from human beings. but that God specifically, God the Son, was the one through whom their existence came about. So these are not departed spirits of loved ones. These are not self-existent creatures, but God himself created them. The late Reynold Showers wrote in his book on angels, "Each angel was created directly and individually by God." And that's a real simple way to remember it. So first off, we see in the question, so angels, of course, are created beings. They came into existence, very simply, by the Lord himself. Now, the next question is, what is the nature of angels? In other words, what are they like? Are there any descriptions in Scripture that give us an idea of what the nature of angels is like? Now, what we're going to see is that the Bible shows that angels have at least three characteristics or aspects of their nature. The first is intelligence, then emotions, and then will. Now, for the first one, intelligence, I'll give you a few passages to look at, and you can research and read these on your own. The first is from 2 Samuel chapter 14 in verse 20. You'll also see another reference in Matthew 8:29. And lastly, 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 12. Now, while these three speak of intelligence and the ability to think and so on, one of the important things to remember, though, is that angels are not all-knowing. They are not omnipotent, if you will. That is just a character trait of God alone. And you can see that they're not all-knowing in Matthew 24 in verse 36, for example. Next is that they have emotions, and you can find this in Job 38, verses 4 through 7, Luke 2:13, and finally James 2:19. The next one, and the last of the three, is a will. You see this in 2 Timothy 2:26. Again, similar to intelligence, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, and then in Jude, verse 6. Charles Ryrie once wrote, "Personality means to have personal existence. Commonly, the essential facets of personality are considered to be intelligence, emotions, and will." So this is an interesting quote by the late Charles Ryrie, speaking of how angels have aspects of personality, again, distinct from human beings, but again, clearly they have aspects of intelligence, emotions, and will. And now we're going to look at a trivia question for this episode. Do you know how angels respond when someone comes to saving faith in Jesus Christ? In other words, they believe in the gospel, have trusted in Christ by faith alone. So in order to answer that, let's look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and verse 10. Now you might be familiar with Luke 15 because of the story of the prodigal son, which picks up in verse 11. But prior to that, Jesus has been with tax collectors and sinners. And earlier in the chapters, the Pharisees begin to complain about him eating with sinners. And Jesus goes on to speak about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then he gives the well-known story on the prodigal son and his older brother. But you'll notice in Luke 15 and verse 10, this is the parable of the lost coin. The woman has 10 coins and she loses one and essentially goes to all means to find it. And when she finds the coin in verse 9, she rejoices. Now notice verse 10, In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, this is quite interesting for several reasons. Jesus is such a brilliant teacher, and here you see that over one sinner, the angels who are in the presence of God rejoice, and certainly we should as well. Now, for our final question, the Bible warns us about not doing something in relation to angels, and that is to worship them. Now, I want to mention this for a couple of reasons at the end of this podcast, because some people can become and develop an over-fascination with angels. Of course, the study of angels and angelology, and also that can be associated with that, the study of demonology. But sometimes people can become overly fascinated with them and maybe lend themselves into worship of them. And that is something and is a practice that we should not as believers do. Now the question would be, well, how do you know that? Let's turn and look at three passages of Scripture. The first is in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. Now in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, this is the verse that is related to the marriage supper of the Lamb and is right at the end of the future tribulation period. And in verse 11, it describes the second coming of Jesus. But you'll notice in verse 10, John says, "Then I fell at his feet to worship him." And this is an angel he's referring to. "But the angel said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God.'" So there you see very clearly the angel refuses worship. Now, if you wanted to contrast that with Jesus Christ in the Gospels, he accepts worship. Whereas here, the angel, when John falls at his feet, does not. So we are clearly exhorted and commanded not to worship angels. Now you'll also see at the end of Revelation in chapter 22, verses 8 and 9, the same thing. John, like many of us, I suppose, takes a couple of times to learn a lesson. In this case, John, he sees these things and he falls down to worship at the feet of the angel. And the angel again, the one in this case, verse 9 of chapter 22 says, "Do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren and the prophets and those who keep the words of this book." Notice again, worship God. So what you see is that we are commanded to worship God. I'll also give you an additional reference in Colossians 2:18. There Paul indicates a similar example where we are not to worship angels, but only the Lord. So one of the reasons that we aren't to do this is we're only supposed to worship the Lord, not idols or anything else that could get in and take his rightful place in our lives. Maybe it is not angels, maybe it is something else. But whatever that something else is, we are not to allow that to get into our lives to take his rightful place. The Lord alone is the one who we should worship. Now, when we started, I referenced the Psalm 148, and we're going to close with that because, again, it goes to the same idea that only the Lord is to be worshiped and praised. And Psalm 148 describes the whole of creation being called on to do that. And so it says, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him, all of his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. So that concludes today's episode. In the next episode, we'll continue our look at questions related to angelology, the doctrine of angels. So be sure to tune in next time. Until then, may God bless you.